visit with this morning. Turn in your Bibles with me to Revelation 19. Woo! Revelation. It's a good part of Revelation. Well, all of it's good to me. I ain't scared. Y'all scared? Revelation 19. Now, too often, I don't tell the praise team what I'm preaching at all. But the first song they sang after our fellowship lined up absolutely perfect with what you're going to hear this morning, just like it normally does. It's amazing. Last week, as we continued in our series that we started some time ago called What Happens When We Die, we learned that of a coming judgment for all those who were truly saved by the grace of God. Now, this judgment is called the judgment seat of Christ. We learned about this judgment that on this day that those who were truly saved will stand before Jesus. There's no way out of it. You can't opt out of it. You can't call in sick that day. You will stand before my Jesus and hopefully your Jesus. Now, the one and only, this is going to be a one-on-one, and what you did for him while you were on this earth will be reviewed. If what you did was righteous, then you'll be rewarded. If what you did was self-motivated or done for the praise of man or for your own self-praise, then no reward will be given. Now, we learned that many will learn on this day that they could have received so much more, had they done what Jesus commanded them to do. Now, today, we're going to see what happens after the judgment seat of Christ. Brother Kyle, something else is going to happen after the judgment seat of Christ? Yes. Yes. I mean, listen, heaven is, something's going to be happening all the time, every day. It's going to be something new and wonderful every single day. There's certain things that you have planned in your schedule and your calendar this year that you're really looking forward to. Every day is going to be like that in heaven. Goodness great, y'all going to have to help me this morning. Today, we're going to hear about the best supper that will ever, ever take place. Now, you think with yourself. I do most of the cooking. My wife is a great cook, but I do most of the cooking. And when she's on her way home from work, she'll call me and she'll say, what are you doing? And I'm usually say, well, I've got dinner cooked and I'm getting ready to go for a short run or something like that. And her natural question after that is, what did you cook? And sometimes, Brother Rick, she gets, okay, that sounds good. And other times she's excited, oh, good, we hadn't had that in a long time. But every now and then I'll tell her I'm cooking something like keto hamburger casserole. Okay, well, I'll muster through it. I'll make it through it. But there's times when she calls and says, what are you cooking? And I say, well, I'm cooking chicken fajitas. All right. I mean, that's one of her favorites. Now, I want you to understand something this morning. We don't know, and I'll get to this here in a second. We don't know what we're having. Don't have a clue. But I can tell you this, Brooke, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. I'm telling you, it's going to be good. So let's look at Revelation 19, and we're going to start in verse 6. Revelation 19 and verse 6. And John records, then I heard something like the voice of a vast multitude, like the sound of cascading waters, and like the rumbling of loud thunder, saying, Hallelujah! Because our Lord God, the Almighty, has begun to reign. Let us be glad, rejoice, and give Him glory, because the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife has prepared herself. She was permitted to wear fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen represents the righteous act of the saints. Then He said to me, Right blessed are those who were invited to the marriage feast of the Lamb. He also said to me, These words of God are true. Let's pray. Father, as we come to You this morning again, before the message is preached, Lord, we ask You to forgive us of our sins and where we fail You. Lord, we pray that You would cleanse those who are righteous amongst us. Help us, Lord, to worship You even in this message. Help us, God. Help us, Lord, to see ourselves as You see us this morning, that we might be able to get something out of this message to become greater servants for you. Lord, I pray that you would hush us and still us. Help us, Lord, to be truly focused on this message, because if we're saints of God, if we're saved by the grace of God, this is a day that's coming for us, and we need to understand what is taking place this morning. Lord, we thank you for how great you are and how much you love us. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's children said, amen. Now, let me ask you, in just the short verses that I gave you, three verses, let me ask you, what is this wedding feast going to be like? What is it going to be like? Now, some of you who are Bible students or those of you who are teachers, you probably dissected just like I dissected, and you probably got two or three points out of this. Some of you probably read it, and you were just like, Brother Kyle, I don't know what's coming. You're going to have to tell me. So I'm going to, but there's a lot of information right here this morning if we'll pay attention. What is this wedding feast going to be like? Now, church, before we get into the nuts and bolts of it, I want to admit something to you. I've been allowed the privilege of attending some pretty huge weddings in times past. Now, when Amy and I got married, it was supposed to be a small wedding. We're just going to stand before the preacher. We're going to do this. And next week it was, well, I'm going to wear a suit and you're going to wear a dress. And then the next week it was, you get a couple of your friends and wear a tuxedo. And before we knew it, it was gone crazy. That's because of women. I'm just as married to my wife as the person who stood before the justice of the peace. Amen? Amen, women? You can spend $10 or $20,000 and you are just as married. Right, Gary Page? Amen? So let's just go ahead and remove ourselves from that. But I've been a part of allowed to see some pretty huge weddings in times past. The two biggest weddings that I've attended were my cousins, J.J. and Julie. Their father owned a real estate company in Charlotte, North Carolina. At one time, it was the second or third largest real estate company. So they had to have pomp and circumstance, right? Now, I do not remember much about the actual ceremony of my cousin J.J.'s wedding. But I do remember Julie's. Now, any of y'all who've ever lived or been to Charlotte, North Carolina, there's one road that kind of cuts right down the middle of it. It's called Highway 51. And Highway 51 runs from Fort Mill, South Carolina to Matthews, North Carolina. And if you turn right, it takes you to the east side of Charlotte. Turn west, it takes you to the west side of Charlotte, and it takes you downtown. Well, as you're driving down Highway 51, you'll get about halfway through there, and you'll realize that you're in a very ritzy part of town. Okay, it's the second largest banking industry in the nation. So Charlotte's got a lot of money. So as you're riding down 51, you'll just creep around the corner. And when you come around the corner, there is a ginormous church called Calvary Baptist Church. And it looks like a castle out of England. Now, when they built that church, I was like, man, I wasn't saved then. Okay. I was like, man, this is the gaudiest looking. It looks like somebody tried to build a sandcastle on the beach and messed it up. And it's pink, a pink sandcastle church, but it's ginormous, ginormous. And this is where my cousin Julie is getting married. So the day of the wedding comes, and we don't really know a whole lot. We know there's going to be a lot of people who are attending they're all the people they know and do business with, and we get to the wedding, we're seated, Amy and I are seated, and they've got the big organ, not like the little thing we used to have over here, the big, huge pipe organ. I don't know how many pipes they had, but if you go to, a catalog to order a pipe organ, you go to the last page, the one that's the most expensive. It's got the most pipes, okay? And we're sitting there, and about, I guess 2 minutes before the bride walks down the aisle, this woman cranks that dude up. And we're sitting there, y'all, we're minding our business. We ain't bothering nobody. And this woman who looks like a little bit of nothing goes up there, and she walks up there to that organ, and she sits down. And she stretches her finger a little bit, Nikki. And about that time, she puts her fingers on those keys, and it lit the place up. I mean, you could feel the vibrations coming out of the walls, coming up through the pews, and pulsating your whole body. Now, about this time, you know, she starts playing some sort of wedding music. And you're still entranced by what she was playing before. And I if somebody did a poll and said, okay, what's your favorite musical instrument, right there on the bottom would be the pipe organ, all right? But this thing was just tremendous. I mean, we were sweating. Bob's sweat was, I mean, we were like, hey, golly, I mean, unbelievable. And then the bride, you can see the doors open and the bride standing back there, my cousin Julie. And then, she, I mean, it was like she kicked it up another notch, Mary Beth. I mean, just you could feel it. I mean, they didn't have to tell us to stand. We all wanted to stand. The whole building was vibrating. I don't know how in the world that building withstood what was coming out of those organ pipes. And she comes down the aisle, and at this point, I'm ready to get married. But, I mean, it was just a grand crescendo of just unbelievableness. I mean, I don't even know if that's the right way to say it, but it was just unbelievable. I heard what you said. But an unbelievable wedding. Unbelievable. Now, one of my favorite weddings, since I've been here as your pastor, now, they've all been good, but one of my favorite weddings was Larie and Jesse's wedding. And y'all think, oh, yeah, that was a beautiful wedding. That didn't have nothing to do with it. Oh, Larie looked so pretty. Yes, she did, but that didn't have nothing to do with it. Jesse, I said, yes, she's pretty, but that didn't have nothing to do with why. Come on, Jesse. Just hold on, man. Jesse's family was here, and they did most of the music. Y'all remember that? I mean, it was wonderful. That wedding helped us to understand that we needed to make some changes in our audio video. That was a good thing, wasn't it, Steve? Amen. That had nothing to do with it. You see, men are wired different than women. We know this, right? The reason that I love that wedding that had nothing to do with the flowers and the decorations, what they were wearing, what the music they played. You want me to tell you what I loved about that wedding, Gary Page? The food. Amen. I've got a brother up there raising his hand. It was the food. Listen, you walk through the doors of the clubhouse back there in Richmond Hill. You walk through the doors, and as soon as you walk through the doors, a fragrance filled the air. Roasted pork. Wasn't it, Gary? Y'all take note. A fragrance filled the air. And you walked in the door, and you, oh, look at here. There's tables set up to the right and to the left of, guess what? Hors d'oeuvres. And it was good stuff. It was, you know, all kinds of cheese. See, y'all remember all this? Y'all don't know nothing about this. Y'all, and crab dip, y'all. I mean, I made a sick of myself with the crab dip. And there were two or three things. I mean, it was good stuff. We were all fruit, and we were all sitting there waiting because they had the doors locked. They wouldn't let us in there for the main stuff. And then they opened the doors and we got to go in and sit down. And then we waited. We had enough to eat. We could wait. And then the buffet line opened up. And they kept coming back. Do y'all want more? There's plenty. Do you want to come back? And I was like, golly, yeah, I want to, but I can't. I really want to. Can I get it a go box? I mean, it's good stuff. See, men don't look at the pretty fancy flat. We look at the food. Right, men? Thank you. Now, I also remember the energy, effort, and money, Brother Gary, that it takes to have a wedding for a daughter. I'm so glad that God scared me to death when I was a youth pastor in Greer, South Carolina, when Emily was in the eighth grade, when we went to a wedding. And I realized, okay, good gracious, I'm a pastor married to a school teacher. It ain't adding up. I mean, I want to celebrate when my little girl finally gets married, and so I started saving a roll of quarters every week and putting it in a jug. And then when I became a pastor and I started making the big bucks, I started putting $25 into account. And Emily and I rolled the quarters and all this, and now that's the grandkids, you know, grandkids fun, right? But I saved for all that. I had no idea what it would take. And yes, listen to me. Amy took care of all the ins and outs as far as the decorations and the flowers, and I would get daily texts, can you build this? And I wanted to say, y'all, no. But I didn't. I don't think I did I? I mean, I'd say, yes, good Lord Jesus. Oh, gosh. But I'd build it. I wasn't in charge of all that. What I was in charge of, y'all know what I was in charge of? The food. That's right. The food. We had Mike May cooked us some Boston butts. We had the best barbecue in Savannah, Georgia. We had low country boil. We had shrimp and grits. I mean, we had everything that was delicate and decadent to the Savannah, Georgia area. Amen? Good stuff. That's what men look at. That's what I was in charge of. I know what it takes. Now, can I tell you, I have been to some really nice weddings. And can I tell you that I know what it takes to put on a wedding. But something else I can tell you is that no wedding I have ever been to or been a part of will ever compare to what we just read about in our scripture this morning. Think with me here. Brother Gary, think with you. This ought to get you excited, brother. Listen, think with me here. God has infinite resources and is planning this wedding and a wedding feast. What in the world is it going to be like? Infinite. I mean, nothing. Nothing's held back. Amy would call me and she said, look, can we do this? And I'd like, absolutely not. Good. Great. No. Now, that didn't happen often, but she would say, can we get a string quartet to come in here and play as Emily? No. No. Can we get a harpsist? You know, somebody playing the harp. How much is it going to cost? About 700. No. I mean, I got to the 7 and the 0, and I didn't even look at the other 0, and I said, no. No. But God has infinite resources. This wedding is being planned, listen, right now. Right now. It's not being planned a year ahead or 6 months ahead. I mean, he's planning for it right now. He's planning for exact all the decorations, all the flowers, all the pomp and circumstance, and all the food. Hey, all the food. I don't know what it is. Brother Kyle, what's it going? I don't know. I don't really have a clue, but I know this. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. It's going to be better than any wedding you've ever been to in all your life. Brother Kyle, you didn't come to my wedding. Listen, you didn't come to mine either. You didn't. I mean, we had cheese crackers. We did. We had water. We had that funky jacked up punch that you women like to have. I mean, I don't even think we had sweet tea, Mr. Taylor. We really didn't. It's that lime stuff with ginger ale poured over top of it. Yeah. Y'all, that doesn't go good with cheese crackers. Now, what will take place at this wedding and wedding feast? That's what I want to listen to. What will take place at this wedding and this wedding feast? I'm glad you asked. I'm getting ready to tell you. Well, so what is it? What's going to take place? Well, there's going to be something that y'all, I don't know how y'all going to feel about it. Look at 7a. 7a. Scripture says in 19, verse 7, it says, let us be glad, rejoice, and give him glory. What is there going to be? What's it going to be like? Church, there is going to be praise. There will be praise. And listen to me. The praise is not going to be for the bride. Y'all do know that the man takes second seat in all this, right? I mean, I tell every couple that I counsel with, do premarital counseling with prior to wedding, I look at the guy and say, look, son, you do realize that this has, all you have to do is just show up and keep your mouth shut, right? Right, Jesse, you remember that? All you have to do is show up and keep your mouth shut. You fade into the wall and say, yes, ma'am, yes, baby, I love you. That's all you have to do. Something's going to go wrong. Something's not going to go right. Isn't that right, Angela? Something is going to mess up, and it's okay. Right? Where am I going with this? Hold on a second. But it's all about the bride. The day is all about the bride. The gown, the makeup, the something bright, something blue, something barred, something, you know, all that whole rigmarole. It's all about the bride. Have y'all ever noticed that it, you know, the wedding coordinator tells you, okay, look, you have to have a watch that day, and at so-and-so time, you're going to be over here to the right, and when you hear breezes blowing in the wind on the piano, I don't even know if that's a song, you will come out, and you will come out like this, and you will stand right here, and you will give a little look at the door. That's your job. That's what you're going to do. You know why? Because it's not about you that day. Nobody says, please rise when the groom walks in. You just stand here. And people are like, they don't even care what you got. You could be up here with nothing on and they wouldn't care. They talk about you afterwards. But just standing right here. Why? Because it's not about the groom. But this is what happens. After Love in the Wind plays and the groom says, the organist or the piano, they dun da 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 dun da 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 dun. Y'all know what I'm saying? And about that time the doors open. Woo-hoo. And the bride is standing there with her daddy, usually in her arm, and they start playing, you know, dum dum da da, and it's all out, woo! And everybody stands up and looks to the back. And ooh, look, she's beautiful. Oh, look at, ooh, it's beautiful. And she walks down the aisle, and the groom's standing here, and he's scared to death. Doing this right here. I hope her daddy's paying for all this. Lord have mercy, how much did that dress cost? And she comes, and everybody's just oohing and aahing. And listen, everybody wants to kiss the bride on the cheek. And everybody wants a picture that day with, guess who? The bride. I don't even know if anybody ever even congratulated me on my wedding day. They should have, because I married up, y'all. I outpunted my coverage. I know I did, I know. But it's all about the bride. But listen, on this day, it's all about the groom. It's all about the groom. Well, who's the groom? Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is the groom. It's all about him. We will be singing praises unto him. Well, why aren't we going to get any praise? You don't deserve any praise. He's done it all. He has done everything for you. The reason you just took that breath and blinked your eyes and your heart's still beating is all because Jesus Christ. And on that day, it's going to be all about the groom. We're going to be there. But it's all about the groom. Now, let's look at something else. Why will there be so much praise? Well, verse 7b tells us that. Because the marriage of the Lamb has come. It's come. Well, Brother Kyle, what exactly do you mean? What's the big deal? It's all in Scripture. We know it's going to come one day. But why is all this praise? Because, church, it is finally come. 7b tells us it is time. The time has finally come. Now listen, guys, do y'all remember when you were dating your significant other? I hope so. Do you remember when you were dating your significant other? I do. I'll never forget when we first started dating, and it's pretty much like this still now, but when we were started dating, you know, she lived in Rock Hill and I lived in TK, and it was about 35 minutes apart from each other, and I would sneak, it's not like all these kids have telephones. I didn't have a telephone. My telephone was in my mama's room and upstairs in the kitchen, and then when it was bedtime, I had to go and sneak in my parents' bedroom or somewhere else that I'm not going to talk about, and call my girlfriend, which was Amy. And we'd sit there and talk. We'd talk about, you know, I don't know, as long as we could. And then it was time to hang up. Craig, it was time to hang up. I said, all right, baby, I love you. I got to go. It's you know, I hear them walking around upstairs. They're getting ready to come downstairs, and they're going to bust me, and I'm going to be in trouble. And okay, I'll talk to you later. Love you. Love you too. Love you more. No, I love you more. I love you more. No, I love you more. Well, hang up. No, I'm not hanging up. You hang up first. No, you hang up first. All right, listen, we got to hang up. Let's hang up on three. Ready? One, two, three. You still there? Yes! Y'all remember that? I mean, it was so good. Why is there going to be praise? Because it's finally time. Do y'all remember the separation when you were dating your significant other and how much you loved and how much you wanted to be with them, but you couldn't? I mean, there was time or distance, or it might have been somebody been in the military or whatever the circumstances were, but you could not be with them, and you just longed, you so longed to be with them. Listen, the time is over. The time is over. All of creation has stopped for this 1 minute, 1 second. Jesus is anticipating this, church, and we ought to be. We ought to be. This is going to be an unbelievably great, great, phenomenal day. But then, there's something else. Then we see something somewhat kind of unusual in 7b. It says, and his wife has prepared herself. Well, who in the world is his wife?
Who is it that is marrying the lamb? Well, we are. Church, we are. We, the church, the greatest love of the Savior of the world, his most prized possession, us. Do you understand? Listen, some of y'all probably aren't getting excited about this, but do you understand what this means? I don't think you do. Look with me, if you can, flip over to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 7. Mark chapter 10, verse 7. It says, and this is Jesus saying this, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh." So at this point in time, Steve Blake, the bride is the bride and the groom is the groom, right? The bride is the church. The groom is Jesus Christ. But after the wedding takes place, guess what? We are one. We are one. Brother Kyle, what in the world does that mean? I don't know, but it's good. It's good. I'm going to have the mind, spirit, body, presence, ability. I'm going to be an heir with Jesus Christ. I'm not right now, but I'm going to be one day. We're going to unite as one with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Listen, have you ever... Now, this is okay. Listen to me. This is okay. Have you ever, with your spouse... You're sitting there cuddling or holding hands, and you hug on each other, and you just like, I cannot get close enough. I just can't get. Amy and I will lay in bed at night before we go to sleep, and we'll spoon. I mean, she has her back to me, and we spoon and cuddle. And some of y'all are like, that's nasty. That's gross. We do. We still do. I mean, after all these years, we've been together since we were 17 years old. And you just cannot feel like you get close enough. Hey, listen, that's how it is with Jesus. Do you ever feel like you can't get close enough to our Savior? This day, you will be perfectly united with one. It's going to be unbelievable. I can tell y'all are really excited about this day. But there's something else. Church, we are going to be dressed for this special occasion. Now, y'all know that most of the time, I'm really excited when I go to my favorite store and find a shirt that I like. The Goodwill. Right? And sometimes it's like, you know, golly, somebody must have unloaded some good stuff. Because I mean, I'm hitting jackpot bonanza. But other times it's not. But this day, church, we are going to be dressed to the nines. Look at verse 8. Look at verse 8. And let me get back in the book of Revelation. Verse 8 says this. It says, "She was permitted to wear fine linen, bright and pure." Now there's one word there that should really stick out. Permitted. We were permitted. That should trigger off and help us to understand in most circumstances we wouldn't be allowed to. But on this occasion, we were permitted. Well, why were we permitted? Because of the Lamb. We're permitted. Why? Because we are getting ready to be co-heirs with Jesus Christ. Well, why did he allow us then? Because he wants to adorn us as himself for this special occasion. What's it going to be like, Brother Kyle? I don't know. But it's going to be good. It's going to be good, church, I'm telling you. We then see in verse 9 that there will be a special invitation to this wedding and wedding feast. Look at verse 9. Verse 9 says this, it says, "Then he said to me, 'Right, blessed are those invited to the marriage feast of the Lamb.' He also said to me, 'These words of God are true.'" Now, we all know that we're going to be invited, but who else is going to be invited? There are going to be a lot of people who are invited to this, and we're going to talk about that here in a second. But I want you to understand something here. There ain't going to be no wedding crashers. There's not going to be any wedding crashers. Now, I know some of y'all are sitting back there, you've got a smile on your face. I know what y'all used to do on Saturdays instead of spending money. Colin, where's Colin? You might be. You look at the paper, you look at the paper like a week ahead and you see Joanne and Steve getting married at the Savannah Country Club on so-and-so. And you say, oh, look at there. Look at there. I know what y'all do. And you call up Reagan and say, Reagan, look here, put your best dress on, baby. I'm taking you somewhere nice. Nice this weekend. Reagan, oh, yeah, yeah. So Colin shows up. He's got a suit on and says, come on, baby, I'm taking you. Let's go. And they go and they open the door and they walk in the door and they act like they own the place. Colin's got a little strut, and he goes, and they say, are you here for the wedding? Yes, we are. It's Clinton and Melody. Yeah, 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 we were here. I've known him for ages. You go and sit down, and wheels are turning, aren't they, son? And you have this wonderful, and there ain't going to be any wedding crashers at this feast. There's not going to be any wedding crashers at this wedding. Brother Kyle, what are you talking about? You better get ready for the wedding now. You better prepare yourself now. Brother Kyle, how can I prepare myself? If you do not know my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ right now, if he came and took his church home, you're not going to the wedding. You're not. If you do not accept Jesus as your personal Savior, if you keep putting it off and say, nah, nah, not today, not today, not today, listen, and the church is raptured, you're not going to the wedding. You're right here on this earth. You're on the outside looking in, and you won't even be able to see through the curtains, church. It's not happening. Now, let me break this down a different way. Let me explain the marriage supper in simple terms. What is the marriage supper of the Lamb? The marriage supper of the Lamb is a glorious celebration of the marriage of Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. That's us. Well, Brother Kyle, it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be marvelous. There's no way to explain it. It's just one of those things, Miss Desi. I can't explain the love of God. I can't explain what the marriage supper and the marriage wedding, the feast is going to be. I don't have a clue. But it's going to be good. I know that. Well, Brother Kyle, when and where does the marriage supper of the Lamb take place? The marriage supper of the Lamb will take place after the church has been taken to heaven in the rapture and following right after the judgment seat of Christ, which we talked about last week. But it will happen before we return with Christ to earth in his glorious appearing. Now, guess what this means? This means that the marriage of the Lamb and the marriage supper of the Lamb will take place, and guess where? In heaven. That's going to take place in heaven. I don't know what it's going to be like. I remember when Emily came home and she said, we're getting married and whatever. And Amy and Emily started talking about different venues. Well, do you want to get married in church? Do you want to get married outside? Do you want to get married here? Do you want to get married there? And she said, I'd really like to get married in one of the squares downtown in front of St. John the Baptist Cathedral, blah, blah, blah. And we started looking up, Mr. Taylor, the availability of it. And y'all didn't know this, but there was a wedding right after Emily's at 2 o'clock. Hers was at 12 and this was at 2. So we had to set up, have the wedding, get it cleaned up, get it everything, get out of the way so the other wedding could come in and prepare for the 2 o'clock wedding. And if you didn't meet the time constraints, guess what? More money, right, Gary, right? We don't have to worry about the venue. We looked at some of the most expensive and we looked at other little venues. But you went through this. Look at him. It's all right. You want to come sit up front, son? You remember all this. Anybody who's had a girl who's been married, you've gone through this. There are some amazing places in Savannah, Georgia to have a wedding. But they don't compare to where we're going to have our wedding. In heaven. In heaven. Heaven. I'm in it. Listen, it's going to be unbelievable. What's it going to be like, bro? I don't know what it's going to be like, but it's going to be great. It's going to be unbelievable. But something else, listen. Who will be at this marriage supper and this wedding of the Lamb? The participants of this incredible end-time event will include the groom, who is the Lamb, Jesus Christ, and the bride, who is the church. That's me. I don't know about y'all. I'm going. You can come if you want to, but I'm definitely going. We worried about Chris, but I'm going, all right? I'm going. Every person who is a member of the body of Christ will be there as the bride. As a believer, you are cordially invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. The moment you accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, but you became part of His bride to be. Now, this will be your wedding feast, our wedding feast. Well, the third party invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb of God are guests. Well, who are these guests? Do you know? Miss Desi, did you see that? Who are these guests that are going to be there for the marriage supper? They will be Old Testament saints such as Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Joshua, and David, all who were in heaven. Whoever they are, but they're not a part of the church. Thus, they are not the bride. Hebrews 12:1 says, and it talks about a great cloud of witnesses. All of those who are believing dead from Adam until the resurrection of Christ will be guests at this wedding feast. All of them. From Adam until Jesus' resurrection. All those people, they're not a part of the church. They're not a part of the bride of Christ. They're saints as far as they accepted God and went through the right way. They're in heaven, but they're not a part of the bride. You mean to tell me that Abraham's not a part of the bride? Mm-mm. But you are. You mean to tell me that Moses is not a part of the bride? But you are. That's pretty special, isn't it, church? That's pretty special. How long will this feast last? Now, generally, when we have a wedding, and I don't know how y'all are going to do it. We had the wedding, and then we came back here and had the reception, and we didn't have a set time of when we wanted it to be over. I didn't ever ask Amy, how long do you think we ought to? I just, as quick as it can be. As quick as it can be. Let's go, get on, get out, let's go. How long will this feast be? I have no idea. But if the feast falls in line with Jewish weddings or Jewish tradition, which most New Testament does, amen? If that's the case for the wedding feast, then we're looking at least a week. A week. A week. You mean to tell me? Yeah, a week. We are going to be throwing down as a body of Christ for a week with our new groom, Jesus Christ, by our side the whole time. It's going to be like a wedding, a feast, and a honeymoon all together for at least a week. At least a week. And I imagine it's probably going to be longer than that. I don't know. I don't have a clue. Church, listen to me. Do you want to be a part of the bride of Christ? Do you want to be a part of the bride of Christ? Will you be invited to the marriage feast and to the marriage? If you are not at the feast, there's only one of two places you could be. Number one is in hell. Or number two is on earth, either suffering through the tribulation or preparing to suffer through the tribulation. Christ has already raptured the church. We're all there. So you are either in hell or you're going to hell. I'd rather be at the wedding feast. Wouldn't you? The choice is yours. The choice is now to make. You can't make the choice after Christ comes and raptures the church. You can say, oh, hold on a second. That was glorious. Did y'all hear that? Did y'all hear the thunder and the trumpet sound? And all of a sudden, listen, people's clothes just fell to the ground and they disappeared. They're gone. I mean, I even looked up a couple of times and I thought I saw images of people that I knew floating up in the air who were Christians who called themselves and glorified God. It was absolutely amazing. Listen, that was amazing. I want to go now. Scripture says no. No. If you've heard the gospel message, which you have this morning, and you deny Jesus, you don't accept Him now, once the rapture of the church takes place, according to Scripture, Scripture says once you've heard the gospel and you've said no to it after the rapture of the church, Scripture says you will believe a lie. Your chance is now. You'll have no other. Accept Jesus today. Scripture says today is the day of salvation. Why wait? Why miss this? Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we love you for so many reasons. But this morning, after this message, we love you because we know that you're preparing something for us that we have no idea about. God, we just glorify you and thank you, God. We don't deserve it. I know I don't deserve it, Lord. I know these people don't deserve it. But God, you think we deserve it. Lord, open our eyes and help us to see what we're putting into what we're going to get out. Help us, Lord, to, in a loving way, feel ashamed of who we are and what we've become, that we might glorify your name and make your name great amongst the nations. That's what we're created to do. Lord, move in a way that only you can during this invitation. If there be somebody here who doesn't know you, Lord, let today be their day of salvation. In Jesus' name I do pray, with all heads bowed and all eyes closed. If you need to come this morning, the altar is open. I'm going to be standing down here at the front. If you want to accept Jesus as your personal Savior this morning, I'll show you what the Bible says, not what the Baptists say, Methodists, Pentecostals, Church of God, the Nazarenes. I'll show you what the Word of God says every person must do to be born again. Will you come? As the music plays, will you come?